Brother, I appreciate this opportunity to let you know how much I love and appreciate each one of you. I've been a member of this Quorum now for 45 years. Of course, it's had different numbers and different names in that during those 45 years, but it's been a great Quorum and a great part of my life. I think of the members that are not here with us that have passed on, and each one of them, and as of you, have been an example for my family. I take a great comfort in the scriptures, and I've taken a lot of jokes and quims about being short. It really doesn't bother me. I automatically duck every time I walk through a doorway. But the comfort I get from the scriptures is that it tells us that in the resurrection, we will all be restored to a perfect frame. And as I interpret the scriptures, that means we'll all be at least 6 feet tall. So that gives me comfort for the hereafter. And then, too, it also tells us that not a hair of the head will be lost. So that should appeal to all of us. I started with nothing, and I've still got most of it. I tell my kids that they don't have the advantage that I had growing up. I had the advantage of nowhere to go but up. They don't have that same privilege. I think we spoil our kids now. I was born on December the 13th, 1928. My father died 4 years later. We moved to St. Anthony, but I was 4 years old when he died, and I vaguely remember just a couple incidences during that time. My mother was 33 years old at the time. She never remarried. She always said she didn't want anyone else to raise her children. Later on in my life, I realized what she meant. You know, I think back with my sweet mother, all the sacrifices she made, and how many times I told her, "Mom, I really appreciate it." But I don't believe that we really get that feeling until we have children of our own. And then you realize the sacrifice that our parents have made for us. We moved from St. Anthony back to Paradise for a while, and then Mother bought a house over in Brigham City. It was a full acre of ground, not much of a house, but it was $1,000. So things were a little bit cheaper then. I went to grade school in a central school there in Brigham City, and that's where the Brigham Temple now stands. There's a lot of memories from there. I was baptized when I was 8 years old, but with not having a father in the home, and we didn't have a car in our family until I bought one when I was 16 years old. So I had to work growing up. I missed the opportunity of going on a mission, and I know that had I have gone, that would have changed the rest of my life there. I first started working in a grocery store for 25 cents an hour. That was a lot of money back then. And in high school, is where I met my first wife and dated during high school there. When I graduated from high school, I heard that there was a service station for sale. And so I went and talked to the fellow, and I told him I don't have any money, but this is how I will operate it and what I intended to do in it. And after I had convinced him that I would put every effort to making that a success, he handed me the keys. I was in business. I didn't know how much money I could pay someone to help me, so I decided I would work it myself. I would open up at 5 and 6 in the morning, and as long as there was a car on the road in the afternoon, like, I mean the evening, I would stay open. I did that for the first month, and at that time I could save enough money to, in the operation, that I could afford to hire somebody. I met my first wife in high school there, and we were high school sweethearts. After I had operated the station for a while my wife and I were married. Name was Joyce. She was an angel of my life. And it wasn't until our fourth child came along that we discovered that she had a kidney problem. And for the next 9 years, she suffered with kidney failure. And I know that different illnesses can be bad, but I don't know if anything was more painful, and she suffered more. She always said to me, "Glenn, why do I have to suffer like this?" And as I say, she was as strong a saint as you'll ever find. And I said, "Well, I don't know." But as I look back on it, the way it brought our little family together, I had four children then. My oldest son was on a mission in Germany. And I know the Perry, and that brought us all together. My wife, though, with a kidney problem, we were trying to get a kidney transplant for her. And back in the early stages of medicine, you had to be just about drawing your last breath before you qualified for dialysis. So the plans were that we would fly her to Salt Lake in hopes that we would be able to get a transplant for her. And the airlines would not let us take her on the airlines there. So we had to make arrangements for private travel down there. So I called J. Richard Clark, and we have a very close relationship, and asked him if there was something that he could do. I knew that Boise Cascade had a private jet. So he called me back and said arrangements had been made. And we set out the details to get her to Salt Lake. And I remember at the time there, I told Brother Clark how much I appreciated his efforts, and he had a lot of influence with Boise Cascade there to make those arrangements, how much I appreciated it. And I says, "I will certainly tell everybody." He says, "No, don't do that, because that's the worst thing you could do. Then everybody would be after him." He says, "You just keep it to yourself there." At any rate, we flew to Salt Lake, and she was under the direction of one of the top kidney specialists at the University of Utah Medical Center there. And we had was hopeful that something would turn up within the next day or two. And that we flew in there on a Saturday, and Sunday she was feeling quite a bit better, so I went down to, it's about three blocks down the hill, to our priesthood meeting. And then during the day and that there, she seemed pretty good in that. But during the night, the hospital had made arrangements for two beds in there so that I could stay right in the room with her. And during the night, I felt something was wrong, so I tried to get up to go over and check on her. And I couldn't get out of bed. Something was holding me in that bed. And I tried and I tried and still couldn't get up there. Pretty soon the nurse came in, and I says, "Will you check on Joyce? Make sure everything's okay." And immediately after she checked on her, she ran out of the room. And that's when I knew something was wrong. Within seconds, they come in with all the kinds of medical equipment and machines and that to try to revive her. And they ushered me out of the room. At that point, I was able to get up. And I still remember how I struggled trying to get out of that bed. And all the time that my wife was so sick, she was worrying, because the next day was my birthday, and she couldn't get out to get me a present. And so she died on my birthday. And so every time I have a birthday roll around, there's that thought. I missed telling that prior to that there, I had bought a service station in Brigham there and had operated that service station for 9 years. During that time, I had gone to work for S&H Green Stamps, and I spent 27 years in their employ. But I've kind of jumped ahead of it. I've made some notes so it kind of keep me straight. But it's been quite an experience there. I know I went through quite a transition after my wife died. My whole life and everything we had planned is with the two of us together. And now all of a sudden that had come to a stop. And that close bond between a husband and wife was so strong that I know for days I kept thinking to myself, why me? Why me? In fact, I started getting depressed, thinking that was there something that I should be doing that I wasn't. And so that was the transition that I went through on that. At one of our state conferences, one of the high councilmen came over and asked me if I would give a talk in conference. And I'd always been hesitant to give a talk or even say a prayer. But I thought if I'm ever going to get over that, I've got to do it. So back in those days, Harold B. Lee was one of the 12 apostles. And after I had given my talk, I sat down beside me. And Harold B. Lee put his hand over on my knee and he said, Lynn, he says, I can feel the Spirit while you were talking. We had a close friendship there because he was a missionary companion with one of my uncles. We bought our home here in Boise on July of 1968, and so it's 45 years ago that I've been here. And I think of the example that all of you have had in my raising my family. We all raised our families together. My kids went to school with your kids. We went to your kids' weddings and vice versa. And each time any event happened, it was like it was happening with our own family. I have 11 children, and they're all boys but seven. And of the four boys, all four are returned missionaries, all four have been a real, real blessing. I hope that, and I've made this comment many times, that in the judgment day, I hope I'm judged by the accomplishments of my children rather than things that I've done and said. But all four are returned missionaries, and my oldest son was on his mission when his mother died. And it greatly affected him, but he's always been strong there. My four children, along with my seven daughters, have given us 34 grandchildren. We have 22 great-grandchildren. I doubt if there's many people in the ward now that are older than I am. And I kind of kid and say, well, I'm really a lot older than I looked, because I've been able to save a year here and there. Whenever anyone has asked me my age, I've always told them, say I was being asked now, I'd say, well, on December the 12th, I'll be 84 years old. So automatically they think I'm 83, where the next day is my birthday, and I'll be 85. So I've saved a year there. And so through the years, I've accumulated some extra years. I had I thought it was time to sit down. Had a close relationship with Brother Featherstone and J. Richard Clark. When my wife, first wife, died, both J. Richard Clark and Juan Featherstone spoke at her funeral. And it was shortly after that that Brother Featherstone called me in his office. And he says, "Lynn," he says, "I think you need to start looking for someone to take care of your children." He knew that with my work that I was traveling a lot and gone sometimes a week, 2 weeks at a time. My work with S&H involved maybe going to New York once a month or San Francisco and areas there. And he knew that it's hard for someone traveling on the road to try to raise a family. And it was shortly after that time that I met Mary, the light of my life. Bless her heart. She had two small children and I had four. And you know, it's awful hard to find a woman that's one that's to take on a large family like that. Speaking of a large family, though, one of my work associates said to me one time, he said, "You know, if we took your family and my family, put them together and divide them, we'd each have big families." He had one boy. And so, Mary has been the light of my life. She'd come into our home there, took those children under her wing just like they were her own. And she brought into our family two beautiful daughters. We had five after that. In fact, my wife is younger than I am, and she still wanted to have a family. And with my dad dying at an early age there was just my sister and I. So I really wanted a large family too. And believe me, there's not a dull moment when the group of them get together. If the total of them came to home at the same time, we'd have about 82 people. We'd probably have to rent the cultural hall here. But the thing with our family there, Mary is very involved in genealogy, and she works a lot of that time on that. Probably one of the highlights of my life as far as church assignments was when I was called to be on the High Council. And my first companion on the High Council was Lavore Marsh. My second companion was Brother Pete Williams. Pete will probably remember that. We had some good times together. And some of you will recognize these names. There was Dale Reed, Martin Sackerson, and Vernon Redford were also companions. And I'm sure those names will ring a bell with you. I was served on the High Council for 5.5 years. And during that time, as they come and go, we moved up to about 5th place. I had a time when I picked up the phone and J. Richard Clark called me. And he said, "Lynn," he says, "how would you like to have a free trip to Washington, D.C.?" He had planned on going back with a group of Explorer Post presidents from all over the area to a national convention. But the circumstances were such that he couldn't make it. So he asked me if I would like to go. And I went back there along with, trying to think of his name now, and Grant Farmer. And we had the 19 boys that we had to supervise back there in Washington, D.C. And one incident there, we were walking the halls of the hotel at night to make sure all the boys were in their rooms and things were settled down. And as we walked by their cabaret or bar area and that there, and they were, music was playing, and they were dancing, the lights, the striped lights were flashing back and forth. And Brother Grant said to me, he says, "Brother Lynn," he says, "I wonder how long the Lord would permit his children to act like this." And I think of the situation then and how it's to such an extreme now. I wonder how long the Lord will permit that to happen. I'm looking down at my notes and I'm seeing some blurs. But I can't say too much about how much I love and appreciate my wife, Mary. She's really been a blessing. At the time my first wife passed away, I wondered and felt guilty, feeling that maybe we should have stayed in Salt Lake and changed the employment or whatever was necessary to stay down there because of the medical facilities there. But it seems as time goes on, the Lord works in a different way to perform things. Had I not have moved to Boise here, I wouldn't have met Mary. I wouldn't have the five children that I have. And I express my love and appreciation to all of you because you've all been a factor of how much Boise means to us, how much my family means to me, how much the gospel means to me. I retired from work in 1987, about 27 years ago, and after that I had an import business for a while, but most of my time has been right here with the people that I love. I would like to tell you about a special experience that I had right here in the Boise Temple. I had just completed an endowment and was getting dressed, and a fellow came up to me in a suit. I thought I recognized him, but he walked up to me and he grabbed me and he hugged me tight. And I saw the smile on his face, such a beautiful smile, just radiated. And all the time I'm going through my mind, where do I know this fellow from? And as I finished dressing and was leaving, I run into him a couple other times, and each time he smiled, beautiful smile. And I thought at the time, all the time it's going through my mind, I can't remember what he said, but I will never forget that penetrating smile that he had. And it wasn't until I had left and was driving home when this strong impression hit me. That was the fellow that I just did the endowment for. I've heard stories of people that had temple experiences like that. But it wasn't until I was going home that impression hit me. And I will never forget that look on his face. I'm not over the hill yet, but I'm getting up there where I've got an excellent view. And the older I get, the more I appreciate my life here on this earth and how short it seems. 84 years. Of course, none of us know when there's our time or where time to be born and time to die. But the older you get, those odds kind of turn away. But it makes you realize how precious every minute is that we've got here. And I know that pretty soon I'm going to have to leave this here. I really don't want to leave. But yet again, I know what is in store for us for the eternities. But this temple experience just strengthened my testimony that much more. I spent a lot of time studying the life of Joseph Smith. I probably got every book or every cassette that's been given on his life that I've studied. And I really appreciate his strength and sacrifice in restoring the gospel. I have a strong testimony of tithing. I have a strong testimony of the fast offerings. I've always paid a full and generous fast offering. And as a consequence, my family has never gone hungry, never missed a meal, and the same with the tithing. speaking of members of the quorum that have come and gone, whenever I think of tithing, I think of Brother Fouts, Elmer Fouts. He was a strength and a testimony of tithing. And the same way, I remember back, and some of you might remember Louis Christensen. He taught our high priest class, along with Ellis Lamborn. But I remember Brother Christensen saying, that's the gospel according to Luke Christensen. Only things like that stick in your mind. I remember a statement that J. Richard Clark always said, a man will perform in direct proportion to the importance that he places on his calling or his job. And that's true. The more you feel how important it is. When I had my grocery store, I had young fellows working for me that was saving to go on a mission. And they had such a feeling, and I made each one of them feel like they were my right man. Had one fellow, when he applied for work after he got back from his mission, put on his resume that he was my assistant manager. He hadn't been given that title, but I made him feel that importance there. And so, brethren, thank you for this opportunity. I love you all. I appreciate everything you do. I appreciate your example. I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lynn, we take a couple of questions?
Yep, you bet.
When did you own your grocery store?
That was from 1952 to 1961.
So that was after the gas station, obviously.
Yeah.
The service station.
Yeah, I had the service station and then got married, and it was after I had lived in Salt Lake for a while there.
Oh,
I managed a supermarket in Salt Lake and was there for a year and a half, 2 years. And Wendell Adams was the personnel manager for ZCMI. He called me, and I thought that he was going to offer me the grocery store in ZCMI in Salt Lake there to manage it. And instead, he gave me a job as in Layton, Utah, for the Layton Merck. It's a big co-op grocery clothing that stuff, and I managed that for a while until I bought my grocery store.
Where was your store?
It was on 7th South on Main in Brigham City. I was two blocks down from D. Smith, and at the time I had my store, D. Smith was running the store for his dad, Ren Smith, and they were on 5th South and I was on 7th South. And so he and I would just compete back and forth. He'd go 29 on chickens and I'd go 28, and we'd seesaw back and forth there. And
they became Smith's
Food Kings. Smith's Food Kings, huh?
Food
King. When I first started with S&H, I was with them for a year and a half. And then I was promoted to state manager, shortly after that to his own manager. And later I was promoted to a district manager. But I signed D. Smith in Salt Lake and 5 supermarkets with the green stamps. And so D and I were competitors. D passed away fairly young. I think he's in his 40s or 50s when he passed away.
You said you lived in Paradise. Where's Paradise?
Paradise is a little town. It's about 14 miles straight south of Logan, Utah. You got Logan and Hiram and then Paradise. An interesting deal about Paradise there. My great-great-grandfather owned a big farm in Ogden, Utah, the same area that the Union Pacific Railroad is at now. And he had heard that the railroad was coming to Ogden, and so he traded his farm there for the little farm over in Paradise, because he knew that the railroad would bring an element into the area there that wouldn't be conducive to raising his family. And so he traded for that deal there. So that's how we wound up in Paradise there.
And in 68, you moved to Boise. Was that your first
right
move? What brought you to Boise?
It was my work. I was promoted to district manager and then part of the area for district. So.
Right. Your wife died when?
In 71.
71.
Right.
When you were operating your grocery store, what were you selling, potatoes and your other produce for?
Yeah, we, they were Idaho potatoes, I believe, aren't they? Any rate, in my hallway at home, I've got a big ad of my grand opening ad in the grocery store, so it's been kind of a memory lane there. Not only have I got pictures from the grocery store, but I got pictures of all my kids down the aisle there. So I'm real proud of all my kids. My oldest daughter lives over in Swan Valley. She has 7 children. And my oldest son is back in Washington, D.C. He just retired 2 years ago. Shows you how old I am. And then my second son is the director of curriculum for the church in Salt Lake. And he's project manager over a lot of the construction, but he was responsible for the ensign and that. Has been with the church all those years. He was in Guatemala on his mission, and he was there right after during the earthquake in there. And he and his missionary companion was from Guatemala also. They were doing their restoration work after helping the members clean up after the quake, and a wall collapsed and killed his companion. And Larry has written the story of what happened that day, and it'd tear your heart out to read it. My fourth son went to the Philippines and did a lot of. He worked with Hewlett Packard before he went to on his mission. And he set up their computer system there for it. But kids are all over. I have two kids on the East Coast, 3 on the West Coast, 3 in Idaho, 2 in Idaho, and 3 in Utah. So they're spread all over. I had the thought with 11 children that we would go and spend a month with each one of them. And then on the 12th month, we would take a vacation. And then the kids, when they heard that, they says, oh great, then we'll have babysitters for a month. So we killed that idea right there. But, well, brethren, is there any other questions? Thanks again. And I missed a lot of it. I looked down here, I made notes, so I wouldn't forget anything. And it was all a blur. So I had to figure some way to communicate between there. Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
Love you all.
What's that?
Just a minute.
That's his wrong.
Yeah. Rather than Lynn Richmond came across this few years ago, it's a tremendous help.
Oh, no, I
haven't. You wanted to hand it out. Well, I'm sure if we all use this, we'll be much better home teachers. Thanks, Lynn, so much.
Our Heavenly Father, we come before you at the close of our Christian meeting, and we're grateful for this opportunity to be here to listen to Brother Richards, which gave his life story and to listen to his experiences in life. We're grateful for the priesthood that brings us together and for the opportunity we have to serve one another. We pray for thy spirit to be with us all this Easter Sunday. May we remember our Savior and what a sacrifice that he has given for us
and the many blessings that come from that. And we remember the gift that comes from it as well, the gift of eternal life. Express our love and gratitude to thee for this opportunity, and pray for thy spirit to be with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
What's that?
We have been getting along
45 years.
Going on 46.
Next month, Food and High Choice.
Maybe I'll be.
And here I'll be.